Playboy, Playboy. Y'all already know what the fuck going on. Y'all already know what the fuck it is. Your boy Playboy Poppy, man. You tuned in to Jigsaw Company. Yeah, tap in.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy Jigsaw Blue, back with another episode of Jigsaw & Company, up in the 2-6. I'm here with the guy coming up and coming. Or he, I ain't gonna say up and coming, he's already here.
Okay.
Rico with a camera.
What's up?
What's going on, my guy?
What's good? Not much, man. Just chilling.
All right, man. I link with you from Clark. Clark, mm-hmm. He's been on the show. He's, you know, good people. So how did you link up with Clark?
Well, actually, like, high school. So I've known him for a good little minute. But how we formally started, like, working with music, it was through Majestic. They were about to go on tour, the Fayetteville tour. And I just hit him up and asked him about it. And me and Clark, we just started talking business. And ever since then, like, that's big on me. Like,
big set on me. So you said high school. So you, because I know Clark, he's not 2-6, but he's been 2-6. So you from the 2-6.
I was born in Miami, Florida.
Okay.
Maybe when I was like 10, I moved here to North Carolina. So I was born in Miami, raised in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Like, that's where I started my music. That's like the values. Like, that's what I know. East Smith High School, I graduated from there.
Hey,
so,
what year?
2012.
Okay, you remember that me.
Where year did you graduate?
Oh, no. I didn't go to Smith, but I knew that was my area. Mm-hmm. I knew people from over there, but that's where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
I see you, Tina. So, this has nothing to do with the interview or whatever, but you go to Miami. Where's the first restaurant that you would go to?
It would have to be like, it's like a corner store, and it has like all the Cuban food that you could think of, and there's like this little Philly cheese steak that is just to die for. Got little onions in it. That's yeah.
So, if I go to Miami, what, like, do you know the name of it, or is because
lucky you can catch it on every corner.
Okay.
Like, if you're in the right neighborhood, you can catch it on every corner.
Okay, let's live. All right, so you started doing music with Majestic, brought you in with Clark. What was your favorite part of working with them? Like, what made you want to work with them even more?
I think when you think about the music industry, you can't trust anybody. That's like real shit. And so knowing that I knew these guys since like, damn, like 11th, 12th grade, like it's just, I felt comfortable. I felt like every time I came in the room, if I was to rap something, everybody would hype me up. They would give me that love and encouragement that I really needed that I wasn't getting from other like labels or groups at that time. So, yeah.
So it hasn't been no friction or anything to make you be like, okay, yeah, they got their own thing going. I'ma leave off and do my own.
Nah, I've never had any problems with anybody. Because I do my own thing regardless. That's right. Just the type of person that I am. I get my ass up and I book my shit. I don't wait for anybody to do anything. And I think that's the number one thing.
I can respect that because you got people that, okay, you wait. I gotta wait on you. I gotta wait mm-hmm. on this. I gotta wait on that. I would rather work with somebody that will go out there and get it on their own. So, shit, meet me halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Meet me halfway. Do you remember the first song you made?
Ooh, very first song I ever made. Ooh. Like recorded or just wrote?
Both.
Okay, first song I ever wrote, it was called The Life of a Teenage Boy. Don't laugh, man. I was in the 10th grade. No, I was a freshman in high school, actually. And I wrote it out. It started off as a poem. And then I just made it into a song, and that just, you know, from there I was like, yo, I want to do music. So that's how it started. But first song recorded, it was a song, it was called Hard to Get, and it sounds so horrible. Like, it sounds really
like,
horrible.
Like, the song or the quality? Because it is a difference. Like, I've done music.
Being that was, like, my first, like, rhyming song, low-key, uh-huh. The rhymes were very elementary. Like, it was so okay. Elementary. Like, I can't even think of it, but...
So when you was rapping back then, were you rapping about stuff that you heard about, or you was just rapping about your life?
At that point, I didn't know what I was rapping about. I was just putting shit together.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying? I'm a great writer. Because I started off singing as well. So, like, I'm a great writer altogether. I know how to formulate a great-ass song. But as far as rapping and my material, what I was actually rapping about, that didn't start kicking in until, like 2007, 2009. I skipped like two whole like years, but I wrote a freestyle to Kanye West's New Slaves.
Okay.
And when I did that, I had a show, and I played it for them. And they were like, "Yo, we want you to close out the show. Like, we want you to like do it." And I'm like, "Okay, well, great." And then from there, I like started noticing like, "Wow, I'm actually kind of like good at this. I'm good with the flows. I'm good with, you know, like just spitting. So why not like go full force?"
Yeah, that's where it's at, man. Because once you believe it, because a lot of people don't, like, they have the talent, but it really takes, like, maybe, like, one or two people outside to believe in them to make them really want to push it.
That's on some real action. I'm glad you said that, because it took for me to believe in myself. Everybody around me said, like, Rico, you're great, and da-da-da-da, like, I heard it a lot, but I didn't believe in myself. And until I started investing that time, like, mentally, for real, like, what exactly, tell a story real quick. I was probably, like, 14, just started doing music, and I met this woman that I wanted her to, like, develop me as an artist. And she said, when you die, what do you want to be known for? Take your time on answering that question, but when you give me the right answer, I will work with you. But until then, I will not. Like, I will not do anything. And so it took me months. Like, I sat there and I, like, waited, and I thought to myself, like, what did I want to be known for when I died? Making great songs? No, I want to make an impact. I want to change the world. You know, I want to bridge a gap between, and this is about to get real as fuck, and this is real, because people don't have these types of conversations, and I'm glad we are, and I'm about to throw a rich ball at you, but I want to bridge a gap between homosexuality and hip-hop.
Okay.
Because right now, in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I'm the only person that's doing it. I had to go to Atlanta to really, like, do my shit. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's different, bro. I'm not even gonna lie to you, man, because I never, because when you think about hip-hop, you never think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That never formulates, but like, it happens a lot, and it's not brought to the forefront. And much respect to you, bro. Like, I salute it. If you're doing what you're doing and you have a passion for it and you are comfortable with it and you're not forcing it on anybody, I respect it.
I think that's the number one, because even with the guys, like, people knew, but I don't force it. Like, that's, I'm chill. This is how I am
24/7. I promise you, I would have never known.
Yeah, so, like, when it comes to that, for so long, I hid that. I hid parts of myself. But as soon as I woke up and said, you know what, I need to take the reins of my life, I need to be, I don't give a fuck. You are not an artist to me if you cannot accept or handle your own truth.
Facts.
And that's where me being an amateur to me, like, now, like, I can write you some shit that'll hit you, but we in two different spectrums of the world. You feel what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be.
I feel like I'm preaching.
Hey, man, look, you gotta talk your truth. And that's why I try to preach to the youngest that's around me. You gotta live your truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you always gonna be wearing a costume, wearing that mask, and you're not gonna be as happy as you're supposed to be. And from the looks of it, you out here living your best life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
But
bro,
the thing is when it comes, for so long I hid my sexuality because my talent speaks for itself.
That's how it's supposed to
there
be.
There is nothing that you just, I remember a long time ago, I went to a gay club and I tried rapping. Oh, it was so horrible. Like, people, they couldn't take me. They didn't understand me. They couldn't read me. Like, I'm walking in here, like, this is how I am. So they thinking I'm a straight dude, but inside of the gay world, they don't accept that. Like, they want to see, you know, some other shit.
You expect you a rapper, so they expect you to
right,
be
like,
art.
I spit. That's what I do.
Yeah.
But my sexuality, and that it proved to me that night, my sexuality has nothing to do with my art and my creativity.
Yeah,
so,
and they should, don't never let that shit compromise.
Period.
Never let that shit compromise. Always let your talent speak for whatever you're trying to do.
Y'all could put me on a song with the best of them, and I'll still out doing.
Hey. I see that. I respect it, bro. The respect level has just got higher within this. So, we're going to get into your debut album, The Golden Ticket.
Okay.
It came out last year.
Uh-huh.
So, how do you feel about it? Like, what led you up to The Golden Ticket?
Well, I was writing.
Hold on. Before you say that. does Willy Wonka have anything to do
no,
with it?
No, nothing at all.
Okay, just
Willy
sure.
Wonka has nothing. So basically, I was writing the album for 4 years.
Okay.
Now, I told you I didn't know the material, how to, like, talk, mm-hmm. right? So I had, not talk, but rap. I had to learn how to communicate my feelings on a beat. Like, I really had to study music. I had to take my time, like, and really, like listen to Ice Cube and, like, how he told those stories, or Tupac,
great
or Biggie. Yeah, because that's what I do. I'm really not good with, like, metaphors and like, tricks and shit motherfuckers be doing. Like, I can really talk to you and tell you a story. I forgot the question. What were we talking about?
We were talking about your album.
How do I feel about it?
How did you get to, like, your, what was the process of it?
Okay, so when I was 20 years old, I left home for the first time. Mm-hmm. I got a job offer, and so I had to leave Fayetteville. I had to leave my mother, who was physically abused, like, while I was growing up. So I was always a protector. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So me leaving was so hard. And that's where that album starts off at, where I have to leave. Like, I have to take this leap of faith and go out into the world and chase my dreams. Like, Mama, I love you, and I want to care for you, but I can't anymore. I can't be your protector. So I started the album with that, and it spiraled into what I was going through between 20 and 24. The pain, the anger. Like, I had somebody, like, try to kill me, like, at my door, like, with a knife trying to kill me. I've never had that before. Or in a club, like, somebody throwing a bottle at my head because I had dropped the music video and they thought it was about them. I've never had that before. So, like, I really put all of my anger, instead of fighting, mm-hmm. instead of turning around and beating somebody's ass, I sat there and I said, you know what? I'm just gonna take this. I'm gonna put it in my pocket. When it's time to write this album, it's gonna be great. So that album is all anger. It is all pain. It is all frustration from beginning to end. And that's why I'm really excited for the next album, which is called The Golden Heart, mm-hmm. because, you know, that's all love songs and all that lovey-dovey stuff. But the album name, The Golden Ticket, I started to realize with that album, through all of that pain, I had to realize that I was the golden ticket. Like, I already had my golden ticket. I wasn't Charlie, you know, searching for it and da-da-da-da. I had it. Mm-hmm. So now it's time for me to not question myself and go out and really do that shit. So.
And you say you don't know nothing about no metaphors or nothing. That was a whole
metaphor. No, I know about it, but that's not like, you know, you have people that could come in and, you know, really
you spit in and all the schemes I understand.
And I'm like, nigga,
like, you actually sit there and think about it.
Yeah.
But not so, that's dope, man, because a lot of people don't feel like we just said, people only believe in themselves and somebody else believe it. But mm-hmm. you saying that you had a ticket. Mm-hmm. You had a golden ticket. So you out there pushing yourself, your first single, what was your reaction? Was there a certain reaction you was looking for, or you was just, all right, I'm gonna just throw it out there and see what it does?
On some real shit, Retaliation was my first single. And I was really angry because I had took a break from music, like a year break. I was in a relationship. I was like, oh, I'm in love. But I started to hear in the music world, like, people saying certain things like Rico fell off, or Rico this, Rico that, and it was from people that I put on. It was from people that I helped. It was from people I wrote your songs. Like, mm-hmm. you can't talk down or bad on me if I did all of that. And then also in that year, I had my first diss record. Like, somebody wrote a diss about me. It was really terrible, monotone as fuck, but it was just like that emotion, like, wow, somebody's really coming for me. So I sat down, I had this beat for 3 months, and I just, like, kept thinking to myself, I think my ego get it big, I guess I caught that elephantitis. And when I said that to myself, I was like, oh, this is a pocket, I'm about to come and, like, really deliver some shit. So I just wanted to talk shit the whole way through, like, to give no fucks, because that was my problem. I always gave a fuck. I always wanted to be a perfect role model. This is the old music industry, if you think about it, the mm-hmm. mentality. We have to be role models for little kids and stuff like that. We can't say this, but we can say this. And I try to stick by that, but I can't do that no more. Like, mama, you have to take care of your son, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, yeah.
That's true. What was the, like you said, you took a break. What did the relationship, was it, like, holding you back from doing your music?
Uh-huh.
So, like,
can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Love, and I don't, and we have two other artists in here right now. For me, love equates music and being on that stage and being loved and adored by people. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I put that on the same spectrum. For some reason, I'm weird as fuck that when I fall in love, it's like, okay, I really don't need the music anymore. Or when I have my music and my shit is going up, I really don't need this and shit, and relationship starts getting rocky.
So you don't, you haven't learned how to balance it yet?
Hell no. And I don't think at this point I'm going to.
You say you don't want to?
I don't want to. I'm tired.
Nah, man, I mean, it's a part of, it's going to be the part of the game, because that's I have dealt with that mm-hmm. plenty of times within my relationship, trying to learn how to balance the two, because once, you know, when you're in a relationship, they're going to question what you're doing, mm-hmm. where you at, because, you know, everybody knows when you're doing music or even, like, certain projects, it's a late night, early morning type mm-hmm. thing. So you have to, like, say you have a passion for it, you, if that's your love, you're going to have that mm-hmm. balance. You got to find that balance, especially.
I just think at this point, relationships is just the experience that I need from new music.
Oh.
And what? That's just it.
I can respect that.
But I just got my heart broke a lot, so it's all good. Anybody?
Yo, Rico. Rico.
I'm a fool. I'm sorry.
I fucks with Rico, man. Oh, man. So, Dum Dum.
Okay, Dum Dum.
Where's the inspiration from that?
So I was actually working with a group of people on my album, and they did some bad business with the kid. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to this beat one night, the Dum Dum beat, and shit just started to come. Like, so I just started writing. I just wrote all of that shit down, and that's where Dum Dum really came from. I was tired of, I'm just tired of dumb motherfuckers feeling like, you know, they have some type of say-so or some type of pull, or just at that moment, it was the end of the year for me. I wrapped up 2019 with Dum Dum, mm-hmm. okay? So that was my, like, okay, cool, bitch, I have graduated, bitch, I am here type of shit. So that's where that came from, and I was just talking shit again.
Dope video, too, by the way.
Yes, Radiancy directed the video, and also Key the Artist, who is a dope-ass dancer, and she's an artist. She choreographed everything, so that was amazing.
Shout-outs to them.
Yes.
The video that you did with Aaron. Shout-outs to Alpha.
Oh, yeah, Alpha Eyes. Alpha.
Shout-outs to my boy, man. That boy, wow.
Yeah, he's really dope.
That is wow. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, I seen the video, and I love the visual for it. I love what you were saying, and it just, like, you're making it your own. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I love about an artist, when you're not catering to the masses. You're doing what you want to do. That's why I have so much respect for Clark. That's why I have so much respect for S-Dot. Mm-hmm. These people that I know to and I talk to personally, you took that and you make your own. I love that in an artist. So I'm gonna just say, like I said, I'm giving your roses now.
Thank
so
you. I really do appreciate that. I really do.
So you said, so from when you dropped your album, you was writing for people.
Mm-hmm.
How many songs do you think you wrote in between then and now? And is there anybody that we would know personally?
Then and now?
Yeah.
Legit, in the past 6 months, I have wrote so much, so like I'm gonna say then and now, man, we over 100, like we're over 150. I ain't gonna say 150 now, I'm over exaggerating, but it's about 100, because I'm a writer, that's what I do. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I can just, I'm hitting a blunt, just sitting listening to beats. I'm gonna like write some shit out, it could be a hook really quickly. And that's where I started ghostwriting, because, and this has never happened, but if like Clark, he's saying that, oh, I need this for my album, da da da, but none has inspired me. Hey, yo, bro, I got this hook, you know, that I wrote, you know, 3 years ago that you might, you know, use for a song and might inspire some shit. So that's where it all started.
So do you have do a rapper lose credibility if they have a ghostwriter in your eyes? Like, you know how they say Drake? We all know Drake is a huge artist. But they say he had a ghostwriter. Do you feel he will lose credibility from saying or having a ghostwriter, even though he's supposed to be the biggest?
I think what? Now, this is another conversation that we really need to have, because a rapper, like, he's giving you Drake and Cardi B, we're not gonna talk about Drake. I'm gonna use Cardi B. Okay. For Cardi B, she doesn't write, she uses writers.
Right.
So she can always give you hits 24/7. She better always give you hits
right.
if somebody else is writing her shit.
Okay.
Now she's not a lyricist. You feel what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So does he use credibility as a lyricist if he used ghostwriters? To me, yes.
Okay.
Because songwriting is very important. Because I sit inside of a corner for hours at a time, and I do not get up until I have four perfect fucking lines. You feel what I'm saying? So, with that being said, as far as like being a rapper or making dope music, like he's still top 10 because he makes dope music. You feel what I'm saying? But now, if you say top 10 lyricists, we're in a whole different ball game.
Right.
Because that's something totally different.
I chalk it up to entertainment. Like,
yeah,
like I say, like Diddy.
Why that was the first name that popped in my head.
Everybody knows Diddy not a writer or whatever. He's
mm-hmm.
he's a great entertainer, and that's what I talk about. Drake, he's like, he won't, like I said, I won't consider him as a lyricist. I consider him as an entertainer. Now, rapping is a part of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dope rapper, but when it comes to that, I consider him as an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I want. As far as like being a ghostwriter and writing for other people, that's something that I haven't.
But at
ever
the same
heard
time,
from.
I don't weigh. I just before we get off the topic, I don't weigh if like you were to give me a hook for a song,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't weigh that into my verse. I personally would never. Don't give me nothing for my verse. I'm
okay.
gonna do my own shit. Period. Now you can give me a word or something because I'm like, I'm lost here. Like I just need you to give me a word. Okay, cool. Got you. Like I'm found. But outside of that, like I feel like with Drake, I feel like he writes his raps. He just uses, he gets hooks. He gets choruses. He gets
also,
melodies.
Well, so Kanye, he, well, from what we used to know him for, we thought he was a lyricist and like one of the greatest MCs. But then you hear that, okay, Consequence used to do some writing for him. I forgot old buddy name that he used to work with back in the day.
You're blowing my mind.
What?
Because I ain't never heard this shit before.
For real?
Holy Bible, you for real?
Yeah. It, a lot of people, like, then that's...
You knew that?
That's why... That's why, that's another reason why I like him and Drake like bumping heads because Drake has did some stuff for him and it's been like I guess like a that feud.
Well, if that's a motherfucking case, I need for that motherfucker to get another ghostwriter because the shit he's been coming out with lately, I just have not, like me personally, I haven't got into at this point.
Like,
shit.
Even if like you listen to Life of Pablo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know as far as like on the production, that, you know, that's all him. But as far as like him rapping, he does not write
mm-hmm.
all his stuff.
Wow.
I knew. Matter of fact, Saha the Prince, he wrote some. He writes stuff for him too.
Wow. I don't know how to edit. But I go outside.
All right, so we're gonna get back because that get back on track. As y'all see, his beard is luxurious. It's nice.
Yeah.
How can I get my beard?
What do you put in your beard? Like, real shit?
I ain't gonna lie to you. Some days I just go.
For real?
Like, I might brush it out. I might just comb it. Sometimes I just be like, you know what? I'm about to go to work. Fuck it. And just go.
Uh-huh.
So, what would you recommend?
I'm not gonna
Being
lie.
That you a beard ambassador.
I'm not even gonna lie, when I started noticing that like beards was like a thing, like, you know, motherfuckers are really attracted to a beard, like people be walking past like, damn, that beard, you know, like that's like my number one, like how I get hit on. So I started to want to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? And I did my research. I actually got approached by Jennifer Woodruff, who has a company called Made With Love, beard care products. She also has like skin care products, a whole bunch of stuff. But what is inside of it, like, I put it on every day, I comb my shit out, and it really has changed my beard. So like, my shit, I didn't have all of this at a certain point. You know what I'm saying? Like, but this, you have to think about it like a flower. Those hair follicles at the bottom, you
mm-hmm.
have to water those. And it has to be the right water. It can't just be Dasani, it needs to be Aquafina. You
gotcha,
know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So it's just all about what you put in there. So yeah.
How long you been growing your beard out?
Who? about like 5-6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I dibble and dabble. Like mm-hmm. I know I came to the conclusion that my shit might not connect.
Uh-huh.
So I learned to tame this,
mm-hmm.
but as far as like I said, put that time into it, mm-hmm. I haven't like been committed to it.
Look into other styles of beers, and also talk to your barber. And because that's something that I've learned. I used to be so scared. I just be like, you know, just do me like this, like hook me up. But now, like, I know, like, I need for to cut this, like, hit this. I need for this to be a natural cut. Because, like, it's just all about that as well. So, like, you gotta, yeah.
You gotta do the research on it.
Yeah, you got, yeah.
So, Made With Love, go ahead and plug them so you know they can.
Made With Love, you can go to at, no, just.
Yo, I love his energy.
But now it's beard care products. They really do work, and I'm not like just saying it because I work for them. Like, it is official.
Chasing Atlanta,
ooh,
season 4.
I know motherfuckers ready to hear what I got to say about that.
What is that?
You know, the crazy thing is, coming to Fayetteville, nobody knows what this show is. Mm-hmm. But being in Atlanta, so many people know about it. So it's just very like, whoa. Okay, it is a YouTube reality show series.
Okay.
YouTube reality show. There we go. I'm casted for season 4. Yay me. Yeah. So it's Love and Hip Hop.
Okay.
But it's one of like the biggest like reality YouTube shows. So.
Okay. So, yeah. So how did you get on that? How'd you get on that?
Well, basically, I was casted. So I actually I submitted 4 years ago information to be on the show. And then like last year, I got an email saying like, hey, we have a final casting call, come to it. And I was like, all right. And I walked in and they loved me. So, you know, I got on.
So they've like, is it going to, because you know, Love and Hip Hop is scripted,
mm-hmm.
to a certain extent. They gonna be following you around with cameras, or is they gonna give you like a storyline to?
No, this is like real, like, and this is on Holy Bible. If you know me, you know I don't lie. I really don't. That's like proven fact. But but this is no type of script at all. This is, we're putting you inside of a situation. Now, what you say or what you do comes out of your mouth. What you look like, what you decide to act like, that's all you. Mm-hmm. So you're getting like real stuff. I had them follow me around to like shows and meetings, and I tried to really get acclimated with the group. That's what you're gonna see me with, like there, getting acclimated with everybody, kind of like networking, seeing what we can do together and things like that. So.
So, when is it supposed to be dropping?
October 28th.
Of this year.
Yee. Oh shit!
That's what's up. So, do you think that's gonna like bite a bug into acting or anything? Have you had any aspirations to do that?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm a thespian.
Okay.
So like, I've been doing theater since I was a kid. That's just how I like. I'm over dramatic as fuck.
You feel what I'm saying? You got some energy too.
Yeah, so like, I love acting. I haven't done it in a minute, I'm not gonna lie. But any time that I can get out of my own damn head and get inside of another one, I'm always ready for it.
We're gonna need
to.
Because just sitting here thinking about it and what I have, like my script that I have, I think you, if I tweak it a little bit and like, it'll be right.
Just hit me up.
You'll be right. So, okay. We talked about your first album.
Mm-hmm.
Your second album, you're working on it currently.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, what percentage do you think you at now?
I give you a good 52%.
52?
Okay. And I'll say this, because first off, every album that you're gonna get from me is gonna have like a concept. It's gonna have a storyline.
As it should.
Right.
I feel like every out, like a classic album,
mm-hmm.
always has something that you can follow.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Kendrick, Damn, you can listen to mm-hmm. that front to back. Forest Hill Drive, front to back. Blueprint, front
mm-hmm.
to back, the storylines, it lines up. So,
like, the story is complete. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I want to do. The songs are, you know, written, or there's probably, like, a verse left or a hook left or something like that. It's just... And we're being real. I'm being real. Because I feel like artists these days seem to hear other artists be real. I'm scared of my truth right now. Or I'm scared of what I've been through in the past, like, couple... Like, the past year. Mm-hmm. To where I personally... I'm not ready to sit down and go into that studio yet. Like, I really have to put myself in a certain mind state. Because I'm not giving you trash.
Got you.
Like, I want to give you music that speaks to the soul, whether you're a man or you're a woman. And that's exactly what, you know, I'm doing. I'm taking my time with it, too. I'm not just about... I don't do that. Like, people dropping albums every 2 months.
Yeah, microwavable music. And
like,
I talked to my homeboy producer. Shout out to Dom. Mm-hmm. I talked to him a lot about 21... the shit that he just dropped with Metro. And at first, I'm not even gonna lie, I didn't even fuck with 21. Mm-hmm. But then, him being on The Breakfast Club and him talking about how he take the process of taking his time to mm-hmm. do his album. And I like I said, I respect that because you're not just throwing anything out. Mm-hmm. You're really putting your time, your effort, your blood, sweat, and tears into your craft. And anybody that does that, I mostly... will support and respect, because my favorite basketball player is Kobe. Mm-hmm. And Kobe and Gilbert Arenas, they took time and they put it into their craft. Mm-hmm. And if you don't put that 10,000 hours into whatever mm-hmm. you want to do,
if you half-ass anything in this music industry, is going to show. Mm. There is nothing you can do to cover it. There is nothing. Your stage presence when you walk on, the song when it plays, so the quality. If you yourself, you don't have an ear to say, wow, that shit sounds like I recorded that shit in the closet, let me not release that. Like, go back and you need to really research. We have your appreciation. Let me stop.
Hey, man, some people need to hear, man.
Really what it is I don't talk. Okay. Like, I'm the type of person, especially because I live in Atlanta right now. So if I have a show, I'll go out and perform. And then after that, I'm inside of the motherfucking crib. If I have to go to the studio or if I have a meeting, I'll go do what I have to do and I'm back. I don't talk. I don't get it out. I want to, but...
You haven't worked it up yet.
I want to wait for moments like this. So when we do interviews, you feel me? Like, people are actually going to tune in. People are really going to listen. Now, if I'm, you know... going crazy online and shit like that. To me, like, Cardi B, I hate the fact that I keep referencing her, but, like, she's so loud and vocal online to where when you hear her interview, like, I already heard you say that, you know, last week. I don't want to hear it again. So.
Got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Talk your shit. What is...
Oh!
Talk your shit.
I thought you were telling me to talk my shit, and I'm saying, I'm like, do I do it?
Yeah.
Like, am
I for real? You can talk your shit, bro, but
no.
The track, the song, Talk Your Shit.
Talk Your Shit. Oh my God, this is actually going to be really phenomenal. It's featuring Rico Cassadine, it's featuring The Black Fairy, it's featuring God Is Mikey, Oliver Twist, and Rico with the K, that's me. And it is... It's gonna chart. I know this. I'm speaking this into existence right now. Y'all hear this first. This song, this particular song, Speak Your Shit, is gonna chart. It's heavyweights in Atlanta.
Okay.
It's people that are really doing shit. And so I'm happy to be a part of it. You know, to be with a group of guys like that are really, like, doing their shit. And the verses are really... I'm not supposed to say that I've heard them, but, like, the verses are actually, like, really fucking dope. Like, I was sitting, I'm like, okay, well, let me make sure that my shit is okay, because ain't no... Okay, that motherfucker... Nah, but, so, yeah, it's going to be really big, and I'm going to make sure that I screen record this part of this interview, because it's going to, like, become true. I promise.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to it, man. So, Fayetteville, what does it mean to you, bro?
Ooh.
What does Fayetteville mean to you?
Home, first off. Let's start there. Because I don't think... I think that's one word that you can sum up a lot of shit right there with home. This is where I got my start. This is where I learned how to be a man. This is where I learned how to write a song. This is where I learned what a song is. This is where I got my heart broke for the first time. This is, you know... This is culture. To me, but also the Fayetteville culture. The crazy part is half the artists here in Fayetteville I look more up to than motherfuckers in Atlanta. Let's start there.
Why? Because you would think that now, like nowadays, Atlanta is like the Black Hollywood, the sound that, you know, the South music has. Why you say Atlanta, Fayetteville?
And this is me just being real as fuck. I love Atlanta, don't get me wrong. But the artists there are different. There is a, I don't want to call it Hollywood, but it is a need to look good or to be presented good. They have the presentation that the artists here in Fayetteville do not have. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. They have the presentation. However, that hunger, that desire, for me, Malcolm Chester, or fucking Miko, to go on a stage, not have dancers, not have an elaborate-ass outfit, not have elaborate-ass lighting, but all we have is a mic and a beat, and we can captivate you and take you right there. That, to me, is real music. That, to me, is a real artist. And I'm not saying that those artists in Atlanta aren't, but it's just I've noticed the hunger is different. Everybody looks good. Their outfits are great. Their dances are great. When they perform, it looks great.
Right.
But that's all it is. It just looks good. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And but you would think that rappers, you know, because you I guess you fake it till you make it, as they say. And you say they put on their persona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is that, like, not, you know, something that you would, like, want to, like, because they doing something there, mm-hmm. You know. You get an Atlanta artist, like, a new Atlanta artist, like, every 2 weeks. Gucci just signed, like,
mm-hmm.
45 people.
Mm-hmm. But, that's the thing, like, there's so many like thems. There's so many, like, oh, I can get them to be on my label. There's so many of them like that that's presented well, but I swear to God, and I know this for a fact, if A&Rs, five of them, from Atlanta, Georgia, came to a, what is that showcase, 2626? Mm-hmm. That, what's his name? I feel so horrible. Clark, what is his name? 2626. Vader. The shows that Vader put together, if they came, all of those artists would be signed before they left that room. I know this for a fact. You feel what I'm saying? Because they know that they have that art, they have that desire that motherfuckers don't have in Atlanta. People in Atlanta feel like they made it.
That's true. And people, I want to say a lot of people, because I know some people that came from, they lived in Fayetteville and they went to Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and they just, they wanted to just to say, okay, I've been in Atlanta, or mm-hmm. I'm in Atlanta, so I'm making moves in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and this, that, and the fourth. So, I get what you're saying on that part. I always say, you know, we don't have the, if we had the luxury or the people, the back, like we have Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
we will be making some noise.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the resources like they do have in Atlanta.
But see, and this is where my mission, my goal has been in the last year alone, mm-hmm. in Atlanta. We don't have those resources because we don't know about them, or we ourselves don't know how to cultivate them. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, I go to Atlanta, and I have friends here in Fayetteville that, look, yo, get you a link tree, like, do this, like, market your page, your Instagram page, like, let that be your performance resume right there. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, they just don't know those things. But I'm inside of Atlanta and I see these people talk about this and they talk about that. And I'm like, okay, this is a gem that I can take back and I can run that shit back to Fayetteville and we can fucking flower the waters and everybody can grow and be beautiful. So, yeah, it's just all about the knowing. If we really have to, I don't want to say that we have to get out of Fayetteville, you know, to put Fayetteville on the map.
Yeah.
However,
I hate the people that say, you know, we have to leave Fayetteville too.
No, but I do feel like you, and I've been doing this for some years, I would move to a city, spend some time there, get my name out, move to another city, spend some time there, get my name out, move back to Fayetteville. Okay, Fayetteville, I learned this, I did this, da, 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 da. All right, now I'm going to Atlanta, da, da, da. So, like, it is, at a certain point, we are going to have to push out and network. Not saying, oh, bitch, I'm out of Fayetteville, fuck Fayetteville, da, 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 da. It's just we have to, if they don't know about us because we're not in, that's what it is. They don't know about us because we're not in that room.
That's true. That is true.
We are not in that room with those executives. They don't know shit. We have to put ourselves in those rooms. All right, I'm pretty sure.
You good, my brother. You good. Some people, like I said, people need to hear this. Like, it's, you know, artists, you know, they think, okay, if I just record a song and I just put it out, then, you know, oh, so, you know, it'll catch. No, you got to put that footwork in. You got to put that grind in. You got to go, you know.
Clark said this shit to me. I remember earlier this year. Now, mind you, my album dropped last year. Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, we were chilling, and I was like, damn, man, I have enough sense to do a video for one of the songs on the album called How You Winning. And he was like, well, Brody, what's stopping you? And I was like, bro, that album is like a year old. And he was like, man, that don't fucking matter. You put time and money into that shit. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, you're going to see me repost the same motherfucking video every day for the next 3 years of my life because I paid $2,000 for that shit. Period.
And that's what I talk, like, I do my research and I tell artists all the time, yo, like, look at Fetty Wap. Mm-hmm. When he first dropped, when he was known to the masses, his song was Trap Queen. Mm-hmm. That song was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what? That song 3 years old. Like, and you know, sometimes as an artist, you know, you sometimes you might get tired of performing the same song.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, hell yeah.
You don't know what's gonna pop. So that's why you gotta keep pushing your shit out and keep that same hunger as you had when you went into the studio and recorded that shit the first time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Bruh, I love that guy. I love that guy, man. So who are some people that inspire you?
Like, ooh.
It can be music artists, it can be...
Okay, so like, I'm letting y'all know right now, like, I really don't give a fuck about fame and shit like that. So, like, celebrities really don't tickle my fancy. It is people in my everyday life that inspire me. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, I have a homeboy named Monarch G, who's my producer. I have Miss Divine Beauty, who her vocals inspire me to, like, want to work on melodies and do some shit. Clark, like, he's inspired me. Like, I've been in a studio with this man and I'm like, yo, I want to get on, you know, some shit. But then, you know, I have, you know, people in Atlanta who, you know, is actually, he inspires me to be better. I mean, he's like a big brother sometimes. But so yeah, everything inspires me. I could walk in and see my sister, which this really isn't true, but I can see her, if she's doing somebody's hair and getting $65 for it, the fact that she's trying and she's wanting to get money, that shit inspires me. I need to go write a song. What am I doing? I'm just chilling, smoking a black outside. The fuck? Or, you know, just an act of kindness, like, wow, I want to be nice today for the rest of today. It's just everything inspires me. Everything. The sun coming up at 7:02 versus 7:04 could make me say, I'm going to make a video. Like, it just random shit just comes up.
That's, like I say, you're a different young man. I love it. I love outcast people.
Mm-hmm.
People that stand out and say, you know, you don't have to be the loudest person in the room. I hate loud people that has to, you know, in order for them to be seen, they have to be loud. But you, like I say, you letting your talent speak for yourself. You letting your hard work, you letting your work ethic speak for your craft. I much respect
that
to you, man.
I really appreciate that.
My last question.
Uh-oh.
If 2020 was a celebrity, what would it be? Or who would it be?
The fuck Donald Trump. Alternative facts like a motherfucker. Alternative facts like a motherfucker.
Yo.
The fuck? Oh, I thought it was going to be great. This was supposed to be my breakout year. The fuck?
Yo. Shit.
The fuck? Oh, wait. Ooh, but shit. Donald. But before we end, before you close out, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing for our community as far as creatives. Because we do not have avenues, we do not have plugs, we do not have connects, and for you to be one is amazing. And I don't know if they give you your flowers, but they really need to, okay? And they may not recognize it now, but eventually they will, and they're gonna respect you and they're gonna love you so much more. But I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
No problem, bro.
It takes people like this to get you out there so that people can see, like, your personality is cool. Because people really don't fuck with me. Like, they hear, they, and I'm going to toot my own horn because I'm a fucking beast and people, like, are intimidated and so they stay away. But in reality, if you chill me, you will find out I'm the coolest cool. dude. Cool. And I know, and this is how you know you're the shit. If you know you're the shit, you ain't competing with no motherfucking body. If I come inside of a room and somebody's performing, I'm going to give them their flowers. I'm going to say, you are amazing. You are great. If I feel like I have a critique, I'm going to give it to you. If not, I'm going to enjoy
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And I have no type of, I support everybody. I can post anything. Motherfuckers don't post my shit. Motherfuckers don't listen to my shit. They really don't. Because they know that Rico's great, and if they listen to it, they're going to be... Stop. Rico.
I'm supposed to do that. Because, like I said, people complain, oh, you don't support me, you don't support me. If you're putting the work in, and I see you putting the work in, I'm gonna support you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not putting that work in, or you, like you're saying, if you half-ass, mm-hmm. why would I take the time to support that when you're not gonna be able to do it, or you're not showing me that you wanna mm-hmm. do it, you're not investing in yourself.
And then last thing, and I'm done. For us artists, we need to learn how to communicate to our supporters or our friends what support is.
Facts.
Because to them, they feel like just sharing your posts on Instagram is supporting, which it is. Please don't get me wrong, but can you buy that song real quick? It's only 99 cents. It's only 69 cents. Or I know that you're a dancer and, you know, the baby follows you. Can you post my song really quickly? Like that. That's support. That's you. Support is different from you than it is to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah. All right, I'm done preaching for today because we have been.
Yo, Rico with a K. Plug yourself, bro. Let them know where they can find you. Let them know where your music at.
What's good, everybody? This is your boy, Rico with a K. Real motherfuckers call me Reek. You can follow me on Instagram at Rico with a K. You can search me on YouTube at Rico with a K. You can find me on Twitter at Rico with a K. You can find me on Snapchat at Rico with a K. Everything is Rico with a K. I'm next to fucking blow up. I don't know if anybody knows it but me.
I feel it.
But I know it. And he feels it too. So that must be really real. So yeah. Like, comment, subscribe, share.
Hey man, as you notice, there's another podcast in the pocket. Jigsaw Company, Rico with a K. Shouts to Boy Clark for the link. Big stuff coming up, man. Got a short project coming out. Still working with Let's Talk About It TV and a couple collabs with that. So be on the lookout for your boy. Like I said, look up Rico with a K for real, for real. I support it. I give it a stamp of approval. Look it up. Jigsaw Company. Keep your pieces together, man. We out. That's a great name. Huh? Huh?